What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Abroad Pod. Today is very exciting because it's an abroad series. Woohoo! Today I am joined by my good friend Emma, who studied abroad in Galway. I'll let her introduce herself. But yeah, this is the third abroad series episode that I have. I'm super excited to share it with you all today. And quickly, I want to hop in. I'm recording this intro after Emma and I recorded, and this episode is a little noisy. You might hear some background wind and birds chirping, but I hope you all just find it relaxing and learn a lot from Emma. So enjoy the episode.
So my name's Emma. I'm a recent graduate of Fairfield University. Studied psychology and marketing and women's studies. And I studied abroad in Galway, Ireland in spring 2019.
That's awesome. So I'm very excited to have Emma on here today. She's going to be talking all about her experience in Ireland. So I guess we can start. Where did you live in Galway? Like, what was your living situation?
Yeah, so Fairfield set it up for us. We were in an apartment complex called Donegan Court, which was a great little tiny apartment complex. There were maybe 10 or 12. So all the students were there, and they were three-person apartment buildings. And it was great because it was about like a 10-minute walk into town and about a 10-minute walk into campus. It was a great location. So really, Fairfield did a great job setting us up there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you live with all Americans or were there locals there?
It was all Americans in the apartment complex. It was mainly Fairfield students, but then we also had some students from other colleges, but all Americans. So
that's awesome. And do you want to talk a little bit about your university in Galway and what it was like going to school in Ireland?
Yeah, so we studied at the National University of Ireland, Galway, which is the only university in Galway. Galway itself is a smaller city, so mm-hmm. you don't have multiple schools in the area. But it's a rather big university. I think it's about 30,000 students. So for me, it was definitely a big difference from Fairfield, going from a school about 4,000 students mm-hmm. to almost 30,000. It was, again, very close to town in a great location, and the campus itself was really nice. You kind of have the green scenery of Ireland that the country's known for.
It looked like a castle.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of it. It's, like, really pretty.
Yeah, they have this one building that they use, like, in all their promotional kind of pamphlets and stuff, and it's this just, like, big, beautiful kind of castle-like looking structure. They call it the triangle. Mm-hmm. And you kind of like walk up to it, and it's this big kind of like green area, and then just like the castle walls and kind of what that building was. That was the original campus. So there's no classes there actually. That's where all their administration like offices are mm-hmm. now, but you didn't have classes up there, but it's beautiful. So we took some trips up there. The school itself was great. It was different for me, like I said before. Classes, I was used to classes of about 30 students back at Fairfield, and then at NUIG, that's what we called it for mm-hmm. short, my classes were about 100 or more students, some Whoa. Were like 200, so kind of lecture hall style classes that was mm-hmm. very different for me, but it was kind of a cool experience to have that bigger school classroom experience. It was different because your teachers don't really get to know you one-on-one like mm-hmm. I was used to, and kind of instruction was definitely a little bit different because it's kind of more that lecture hall style. Homework itself was definitely different. You don't have a lot of assignments, which was great. Yep. I kind of looked at abroad as a different type of educational opportunity. As important as classes were, it was kind of more an educational learning opportunity to just learn more about the city and learn more about Europe and travel and kind of that educational experience.
Yeah, but that's what abroad's all about.
Yeah, exactly. But I had all my classes I really enjoyed. All the professors were great, and it was cool to experience a larger school while I was over there.
Yeah. So how many classes did you take?
So while I was over there, I took four classes. So I took two marketing classes for my marketing minor. One was a brand management class, and the other was a digital marketing class. Then I also took a philosophy class that was about aesthetics, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then I also took a class that was all about castles and castle development.
That's so cool. Yeah. What did that count for?
It was, so over there it was considered an archaeology class because mm-hmm. they actually have an archaeology major at NUIG. But for us, it counted as an art history course. So that nice. Was super interesting to kind of learn more about the castles that are in Ireland because there are so many castles across the country. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun class to take for sure.
And so your classes were so big, so I assume you were with a lot of locals too. That's an awesome experience.
Yeah, that was definitely interesting. I would say most of my classes, like probably 80%, were actually local students, but NUIG is an international university, so they have a lot of students from other countries who come. So you do have students who are local who are Irish, but then you also had students from other countries that studied. But I would say us Americans were probably on the smaller spectrum of mm-hmm. making up the makeup of the class. We were probably like 20 or 15%. So it was interesting. It was cool to kind of have that experience to be with students who weren't like us, which was cool.
Yeah, especially like not a lot of American universities have that diversity. Yeah. So that's cool you got to experience that.
Yeah, it was really cool to experience like the diversity of just students from all over. So yeah, it was
great.
That's great.
So now to talk about Galway a little bit. Yes. So you talked about where you lived and your school. Let's talk about the actual city. So I've never been there. How would you like describe Galway to someone who's never been?
Yeah, so when I describe it, I do call it a city, but it's definitely on the smaller end of a city. You pretty much have the downtown area that is all cobblestone streets. You have a ton of pubs, you have shops, you have restaurants, little eateries kind mm-hmm. of on that kind of cobblestone stretch. So that's kind of like the main downtown. You have another area that's called Air Square, and it's kind of this like park area that has more restaurants and more pubs. And that's kind of another section off of kind of the main area of downtown. Also then have the Salt Hill area, which is actually a beachy area, which it was funny for me going to Ireland. I didn't equate beaches with Ireland at all. Mm-hmm. I was expecting kind of more, you know, rain every day, dreariness, gray, more the green natural landscape. But there actually was a beach in Galway, which was really cool. So they had kind of the beachy area called the Salt Hill area, like I said. And then also just a lot of water kind of areas. One area in particular was like the Clada, that's what they call it. So all the ships and like right on the water, a lot of rivers. But yeah, it's definitely a city, but it's on the smaller end. But mm-hmm. I really liked the quaintness of it for sure.
It looks so cute.
Yeah.
Like that main part you were describing, I've definitely seen a lot of photos and there's live musicians and all the buildings are different colors.
Yep.
I really want to go.
Yeah, you like walk up the streets and every day there were different street performers. So you had people playing music, you had people Irish step dancing out on the cobblestone. Love and just it. A very lively city when you're walking up and down. So it was just a ton of fun to be there.
Yeah, that's so cool. Do you have any recommendations for people visiting, like a favorite pub or a favorite restaurant that you want to share?
Definitely. One experience that I did was actually I went out for tea while I was there. This tea house, it's called Cup and Tay, and you go and it's a very kind of traditional kind of feel. Like you walk in, you kind of feel like you're transported like back in like a different century. They have like music playing. They have all these tables set up with like the traditional, like you have your teapot, the teacups and all the silverware and sugar cubes and everything. And you go and you can have tea and they make all their own teas. So a variety of like flavors. They have food items you can get and you just get the full kind of tea time experience. So that was a really fun thing that we did while we were there. In regards to pubs, I mean, you can't go wrong. Every pub that I went to in Ireland, I absolutely loved, but there's definitely the different types of variety of pubs. If you're kind of looking for more just a live music kind of experience where you're just sitting and listening to music, maybe not going as hard, one that we went to is called King's Head, and they have nightly performances, live music. There was one band that played there a lot that it was live music, and then also one of the musicians, like, Irish step danced on stage, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you would just go and sit and kind of listen. Another good one for live music and also some traditional dancing is called Monroe's, and it's another little kind of pub tavern. And on Tuesday nights, they have the locals come, and it's all these old locals, cute little, like, Irishmen and women mm-hmm. who end up doing traditional dancing, and they, like, clear out the dance floor, or clear out the bar floor, and they just dance and do, like, traditional Irish dancing.
I love that.
And you can watch, and then they always, like, have a song where people who are there drinking and eating can mm-hmm. join in and dance with them.
Is that, like, an Irish jig? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, like, they have, like, a special type of music that they play for different types of Irish dancing, and there's different beats. Some are slower, some are faster, mm-hmm. And it's like a lot of dancing in a circle and like feet stomping, and it's just like so cool to watch. And they wear kind of the traditional Irish dance shoes, so that's another really cool one to go to. Some of my favorites for kind of that more nightlife, like really going out hard. One of them's
hard
called
in Ireland.
Hard in Ireland. I mean, you're in Ireland, you're going to pubs, like. Yeah, you get down with the locals. Yeah, it was funny actually when we were at orientation at NUIG. It was all like the American students and then other international students. They warned us. They said, "Don't try to keep up with the Irish students because you can't. Mm-hmm. They go way too hard. Like, don't even try." Which was funny and definitely true. Irish people know how to have fun. Mm-hmm. But one of our favorites was called Front Door, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of a bar back in America. Kind of that similar vibe. They would have a DJ at night, so kind of more that DJ music. And just, like, it was a multi-level pub, which was fun. So that's a really good one for the nightlife. One of our favorites was actually kind of a local secret that we discovered. All of the Irish students went there, so not a lot of American students went there, unlike the Front Door was kind of more that traditional, like, American students went to. This one was called Bar on Clada. It's felt really funky, but it's kind of where all the local Irish students go to, and they have live music, and it's pretty tiny in there, but it's, like, that traditional kind of Irish pub vibe, and, like, you just rock to the, like, live music, and they play a lot of traditional Irish songs, mm-hmm. and so it was fun, because when we first got there, they're playing all these, like, Irish songs that we don't know the lyrics to, but you have all the Irish students who are screaming at the top of their lungs to the songs. And then by the end of the semester, after going like every single week, like we knew the words and we were singing along. So it was really fun to kind of learn all those traditional Irish songs, sing along, and that was just like such a fun vibe. And then my last recommendation for that nightlife, it's called The Quays. It's actually spelled Q-U-A-Y. Again, the mm-hmm. spelling for some of the pubs, like the way that you pronounce it, it's not how you spell mm-hmm. it. And that was another cool one. It used to be like an old chapel or church, and so they converted it into a pub.
That's so cool.
So you go in and you kind of walk downstairs, and the dance floor, it's all stained glass, like tiles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they also have stained glass on the walls. And then they have a band area that's kind of upstairs, and they'll have a band, but then they'll also have DJ music later at night. So that's a really fun one to go to too for that nightlife.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I feel like you can't find that in the U.S.
Yeah,
like
no
it's in a pub.
Honestly, for me, coming back to the United States, and I didn't turn 21 until a few months after I got home from abroad, and my first time going out to the bars, I was like, I wish I was back in Ireland. Like, I miss the pub life so much. Mm-hmm. They are just so much fun, and the Irish people are just some of the nicest people. I think they are the nicest mm-hmm. people I've ever met. You will ever meet anyone friendlier. And so I really miss the pub life. The bars in America just, they can't live up to it.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a special experience. And like I said, these are some recommendations, but you cannot go wrong at any pub you go to. Like, you will have the best time of your life.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like even outside of Galway.
Yeah, yeah. We did some traveling in Ireland itself while we were there, obviously. We went to Cork, Ireland, which had some great pubs, and then we also went to Dublin, which also had some great pubs. I unfortunately don't remember the names off the top of my head because I'm not as familiar, but anywhere you go in Ireland, you're going to find a great pub. Like, you can't go wrong.
I went when I was studying in Florence with Clara up to Belfast for a weekend, and we went to a pub called Filthy McNasties.
Some of the names, like, so funny.
Yeah, and I love the live music.
Mm-hmm. The live music is just an amazing experience, and like, they will play that traditional Irish music, but then they'll also play like current songs, and it just makes it a whole different vibe that's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. So talking about Ireland like as a whole, are there any trips you want to mention, and then from there we can talk about some international experiences?
Yeah. So Ireland itself as a country just has so much beautiful natural scenery that is unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of great day trips that you can do, no matter where you are staying in the country. For us, we did a trip to the Cliffs of Moher, which is a classic. These beautiful, like, just massive cliffs that are right on the water. And it's just, it's this natural beauty that I can't even put into words.
I think it is classic. When you picture Ireland, you probably think of these cliffs.
If you look up Ireland, like, you've probably seen pictures of it on Google Images because it's just a classic kind of Ireland trip. But
how far are they from Galway?
From Galway, the Cliffs of Moher, I think we're about an hour and a half. But it's great because when you're staying in Galway, you can companies do tours there. So you can just buy a bus ticket and they'll take you, they'll drive you. You drive through the area leading up to the Cliffs of Moher, so you get to see a lot of the surroundings. And then they'll take you to the Cliffs of Moher. And then sometimes they'll take you, like, to a pub to go get lunch on your way back. And so it's super easy when you're in the Galway area to go to the Cliffs of Moher. I actually went twice, so it was so beautiful that, like, I had to go twice. You do have to kind of plan it sometimes, though, because some days it can get really foggy there. So depending on the weather, if you go on a really foggy day, unfortunately, you won't be able to see the cliffs. So the first time I went, it was sunny and beautiful, so I was able to see everything. And then, unfortunately, the second time I went, it was super foggy and you couldn't even see the cliffs. So you definitely have to be careful about timing, but that is a trip that, if you're in Ireland, you gotta go. Like, you gotta go. It's incredible. Another really great trip if you're in the Galway area, Galway's kind of on the, like, the west coast of Ireland, is going to the Aran Islands. There are these islands that are off of the Galway area. You can take a ferry over there. And we went to one island called Inishmore. Hope I'm like pronouncing that correct. So Gaelic is the language. In Galway, a lot of people, like, still speak Gaelic. It was interesting at NUIG, like, there were signs that were still in Gaelic, and a lot of the town signs were in Gaelic. So Gaelic itself is a very prominent thing in Galway, which is cool. But yeah, so we went over to the Aran Islands, and the natural beauty there was just insane. Like, it blew my mind. We ended up, you can rent a bike, and we biked around the whole island, which was so much fun. And it had, again, that very beachy vibe. They had a ton of beaches on the island. So beautiful. The water itself was, like, this incredible blue, and it was just so beautiful. Like, I know I keep saying beautiful, but it was unlike anything I've ever seen before. So the name of these cliffs, it's actually, like, an ancient kind of site, and I think there used to be, like, in the olden days, like, a civilization there, and it's called Dun Angus. Again, really weird names of things over there, and the spelling is so weird, but it's basically these cliffs that overlook the water, kind of a similar vibe to the Cliffs of Moher, but a little bit more rocky than the Cliffs of Moher. The Cliffs of Moher are really, like, grassy and kind of muddy. These were, like, all rock. So that was a really cool thing that we saw on the island. We also went to this area that has what they called, like, the wormhole, and it was this natural formation of pretty much in the rock a rectangle cut out, and it was all naturally formed. And within it was this, like, whirlpool of water, and it was just in the middle of, like, these rocks and, like, the middle of the island. It was really cool. So it was, the Aran Islands definitely was maybe, I loved the Cliffs of Moher, but the stuff that we saw on the Aran Islands was just surreal. And again, I can't even, like, put into words how beautiful it was. So that's definitely a trip I would recommend if you're in kind of the Galway area.
You're making me want to go.
I want to go back so badly.
Can you do that in a day trip, Emma? Or did you stay for a weekend?
Yeah, so we did a day trip. It's super easy. We just went down to kind of the harbor, took a ferry over. I think the ferry took maybe 30 minutes, an hour. It wasn't that bad because it's super close to Galway. It's, like, right off the coast. Took the ferry over, and then, like I said, we biked around the island. You can also take, like, a bus around the island. They do different tours, but totally easy to do in a day trip, just like the Cliffs of Moher. So a lot of day trips are, like, possible in Ireland, which is great.
Yeah, it's good to know.
Yeah. Two places that you can't really do day trips, you'd have to stay there unless you were, like, staying close to the area, is going to Cork, Ireland, which is where the Blarney Stone and Castle is.
Is that the one you kiss?
Yes, that's the one you kiss.
What's up with that?
Yeah, like, so they say, so there's this legend, there's this castle, it's Blarney Castle. And I don't know the whole history of, like, who lived there, what the story is, but there's this stone, and kind of tradition holds that if you kiss the stone, it's supposed to give you, like, the gift of gab or something. It's just, like, magical or whatever. And so you go to Blarney Castle and you kiss the stone, and to actually kiss the stone, it's a little bit, like, scarier than what it looks like when you're looking at pictures of people doing it. you have to like lie down on your back, and they have like these bars that you kind of hold on to, and you basically do a back bend and go back and you kiss the stone.
Oh wow.
But again, like you got to do it, like tradition. And the Blarney Castle itself is on like the Blarney Castle kind of grounds, and so they have the Blarney Castle gardens that are beautiful. They have this whole like tradition that there's like a witch who lives on the ground, and they have this, they call it like the wishing steps. Mm-hmm. And tradition holds that if you walk down the steps backwards with your eyes closed and then like walk back up with your eyes closed, and you make a wish the whole time you're doing it, that it will come true within a year.
Wow.
So Ireland's really known for kind of their folklore and their kind of stories. There's a lot of stories about like fairies, and that like fairies live in these fairy trees, and tradition holds that like when people have cut down fairy trees, like bad things happen because they don't maintain them. So Ireland is definitely known for kind of that folklore story and kind of tradition, which is cool. But the Blarney Castle itself, the grounds are so incredible, so beautiful. So that's definitely a trip I would recommend as well. And Cork itself was a cool city. Blarney Castle is just kind of off of the city of Cork. You do have to take a bus. So if you're staying in Cork itself, you're not like right there. But I think it's also possible to stay in the town that's closer to the Blarney Castle. And then one other trip we did was to just Dublin itself. Yeah. I mean, that's a classic. Yes. I feel like if you're in Ireland, you kind of have to go to Dublin and experience it. We did a weekend trip there. So we were there for a few days. And I would recommend spending a few days in Dublin because it is such a large city. One thing we did while we were there was the Guinness Storehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Again, a classic. You got to do it.
Yes. You get the free pint.
You get pint? A free pint.
Pint. Not pint.
You get a free pint
at the top.
Yep,
that was cool. I don't even like beer, and that experience was cool.
Yep. The whole way they set up the museum is just so cool. It's like multi-level, and you walk through the whole brewing process, and the way they've set it up and explain it, it's like so much fun.
Yeah.
And you get to see everything from start to finish, and then at the end you get the free pint, and there's a few options of where you can drink it, but my recommendation is that you go to their rooftop bar, and you're able to drink your pint, and you overlook the city of Dublin. And they have different kind of signs up for what you're looking out onto in Dublin. So gotta do the Guinness Storehouse. That's a classic. You can also do the experience while you're there of they teach you how to pour the perfect pint. And so you learn how to pour a pint of Guinness, because there's a proper way of how you have to fill it to a certain amount, kind of let it settle, because the way that Guinness is made, you top it off. So you learn how to do the perfect pour. So definitely do that as well. And then also within the city of Dublin itself, it's such a city full of rich history. We got to go see the Book of Kells.
Oh, yeah. That's at Trinity College,
yeah,
right?
At Trinity College. And even to just see Trinity College, it's
that's
a beautiful campus.
Yeah. So I went there on Accepted Students Day.
Oh, no way. Yeah. So Trinity is beautiful. It's out of a movie scene or something. The Book of Kells is cool. We also went to Kilcannon Jail. I'm definitely not saying that correctly. There's a lot of history kind of with the Irish, not riots, but there's a lot of history in Ireland of kind of...
The Troubles?
Yeah, the Troubles and just kind of like revolts. And there's a lot of story and history behind there. So we went to this jail and that was a cool experience as well. But there's just a lot of history, like I said before, in Dublin, and a lot to explore.
Great.
So it's definitely a city to check out while you're in Ireland. And the last area, kind of day trip that we took, again, it was a day trip, totally possible. We went to Connemara, which is kind of a different region of Ireland. The landscape itself was very different from what I had seen before. Ireland, again, it's known for kind of that grassy green landscape, but the Connemara was kind of more that, like, I guess tannish and like a different bodies of water and different looking mountains. But the Connemara was beautiful, and there's different things to do in that area. So that's another fun day trip. I unfortunately didn't make it up to Northern Ireland. I would love to go back and visit, but Northern Ireland itself, from what I've heard and what I've seen, there's a lot of really cool things to do while you're visiting up there.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I did make it there. And Northern Ireland is a separate country, by the way.
Yes.
And the capital is Belfast. I'm looking at a map now. It's the Antrim Coast, I think that's where I went. But that's where Giant's Causeway is.
Yes.
Which is really cool. It, like, history says that it was once a bridge that connected to Scotland, and two giants climbed on it and fought, and that's how the bridge broke. But from this coast, you can still see Scotland, which is really cool. And, like, part of the bridge remains. So, again, with, like, the folklore you were talking about.
Yeah, folklore is so rich in the history. And again, like, these are just a few trips I took. There's so many parts of Ireland I didn't even get to go explore, so many other great cities and natural wonders that they have. There's no limit on what you can do when you visit Ireland. So definitely multiple options for whatever you're interested in, for sure.
There's a lot to see, for sure. Do you have any tips, Emma, on traveling from Ireland? Because obviously it's an island, so we were talking about this a little bit earlier. It's a bit difficult to see the rest of Europe, but if you want to just, like, describe your process and talk about some of the places you went.
Yeah, so a lot different than if you're kind of on the mainland of Europe. For example, if you're in, like, Florence, I know a lot
I
of my...
buses
Yeah, you
everywhere.
Did buses, everything. Yeah. You can do bus to Alps. We didn't have a bus to Alps type situation for travel, so it was a lot of us planning our own trips and figuring out our travel and figuring out where we wanted to go, which in a way was great because we kind of got to customize what we wanted to do when we traveled to other places. For me, traveling from Galway, the airport that you will be flying out of when you want to travel from Ireland to other countries is in Dublin. There is another airport in Shannon, Ireland, but it's a lot smaller and they don't really fly out to that as many places, so you're always going to be flying out of Dublin. From Galway, it is a 3-hour long tour bus ride or coach bus ride, which when we first started doing it felt horrible and just felt like such a pain and such a process, but we got used to it. It just kind of became part of our routine. But you do have to plan for that 3-hour long coach bus ride to the airport, and then of course your flight, you're flying everywhere. You can't take a bus to another country. So you're going to be flying everywhere. So it does turn into the fact that when you are traveling from Ireland, you're spending almost all day traveling. So that's something you do have to take into account. We spent a lot of time traveling, so just making sure that you're coordinating your bus with your flight so at least you can try to get to the other countries and have as much time as you can have over there. So luckily, again, with classes abroad, we had our Fridays off, so we kind of had a long weekend, which worked out for traveling. But it's definitely more of a pain than if you're in other countries, but it's totally manageable. And I think for me too, I kind of liked flying places, not having to deal with being on buses traveling to other countries. So flying, you just, it just became a second kind of nature to you.
You guys probably got to places faster than I did on a bus.
Yeah.
Like getting from Florence to Prague took us 14 hours.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly. We would just take, again, the 3-hour long bus ride to the airport, and then you take your flight for a few hours and you're there. So
And the flights are quick too.
Flights are so
Europe's
quick.
Pretty small.
Exactly, exactly. So it really wasn't that bad, but it's something to be aware of that you're not going to be able to do like a bus to Alps type situation when you're traveling to other countries. You're most likely going to be planning your trip, which again, as I said, it's fun because you kind of get to be your own tour guide and really explore the city on your own.
Yeah, you learn a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you can book a trip to Europe.
I'm ready to go back.
Good life lesson. So I guess that's a good segue into talking about traveling around Europe a little bit. If you want to mention like some of the places you went and maybe call out like your favorite place.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I got to 10 other countries while
I
was there.
Emma.
Yeah. Before going to Ireland, I had never been to Europe, and so it was really on my list to make sure that I got to as many places as I could while I was there, because it's so inexpensive once you're there to be able to travel to so many other countries. And also as a student, like, it's just like the time to do it. So I would definitely recommend, if you can, like, try every weekend to try to get somewhere new, and that will allow you to get in as many countries as possible. Some of my favorites, one was definitely Switzerland. I'm a huge skier, and so going to Switzerland was incredible. We stayed in Interlaken, which a lot of college students typically stay there.
It's like the place to
go. It's a fun little kind of like ski town. And I got to go skiing while I was there. We skied in the Jungfrau region,
the Alps.
Skied in the Alps, which was on my bucket list again as a skier. To say that I skied in the Alps was huge.
So cool.
And I keep saying this, but like, the mountains were just unlike anything I've ever seen or experienced before. They were just so massive, so huge, just, you were in awe when you were looking at them. And skiing was incredible. I felt like I was like dreaming. It was so beautiful.
Like up in the clouds.
And it was really cool because they kind of have that like ski culture, kind of the après ski idea.
Yes.
And so they have all these bars and restaurants like on the side of the mountains. I unfortunately only got to ski one day, and so we were very focused on making sure we got to ski as many trails as possible. So I didn't really get to experience that kind of side of the mountain bar type life, but it just looked like so much fun. And just the towns that we went through as we were skiing, just like these cute little ski towns with the side of the mountain hotels, and it was just such a cool experience. So if you're a skier, definitely recommend going to Interlaken. Even if you're not a skier, you can find other fun things to do while you're there.
Yeah, there's a ton to do there. I am a skier. I actually didn't ski because I went in November, and it wasn't... Actually, I think the weekend after I went was opening weekend, so like to go back. But did you do like a chocolate making class?
No. Yeah, we went to the... I can't remember what the name of the place is.
I think it's like Funky Chocolate
Club. We went there and I got the classic like chocolate covered strawberries.
Oh, those
high key, like so overpriced, but also worth it.
Yeah, really good.
I mean, the picture I got with it, like classic, it was great. Mm-hmm. But we just went there. We didn't do the chocolate making class. But I know people who did.
Yeah, the class is really fun.
Okay, yeah.
I got to make my own like custom chocolate.
Uh-huh.
It was really good.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend that.
And I didn't... It's paragliding.
Yes.
Paragliding.
Paragliding. Yeah, you can either go paragliding or hang gliding.
Yeah.
Hang gliding is when you're like a bird, like flying.
Uh-huh.
Paragliding is you're sitting. It's almost like parasailing, but you're not connected to anything.
Yeah.
But that was a thrill.
Yeah. I didn't do that while I was there because I was between that and skiing.
Yeah.
So I chose skiing, but some of my friends did it and just looked like they were thriving.
Yeah.
It looked like
it's so
much
fun. Definitely recommend doing something. It is pretty expensive.
It definitely is expensive.
All these activities and Switzerland in general is
pretty
expensive. Pricey.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to like choose like one, maybe two
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
But Interlaken's like the place for adventure,
yes.
I feel like.
Yeah, no, that's... I was just going to say that. You go there and you know you're going to have like an adventure-filled few days while you're there. And it's so much fun. And
mm-hmm.
it's so easy to do those different adventure activities because the options are endless. I had some friends who also went canoeing on like the beautiful lake that... is there. I think it's called like Lake Bree.
Yeah, like Bren.
Bren.
Something like that.
Yeah,
Bren's
it's this
beach.
Beautiful blue lake and they like got to go canoeing now on it. So there's options for everyone. If you're
mm-hmm.
not a skier, like you will find fun things to do. So I loved Interlaken. Definitely recommend. Another one of my favorite trips was actually to Stockholm, Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first trip that I took outside of Ireland and it was kind of just random last minute. And we thought it looked like it would be a cool city to go to. I didn't really know what to expect going in, but it ended up being one of my favorite trips. We stayed in the old town and it's called Gamlestan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this, again, like cobblestone streets, beautiful buildings. You can really like feel the culture and the history. Beautiful area. They have a palace over there, so we got to go to the palace and kind of be on the royal grounds and go and see like the royal jewels and walk
mm-hmm.
through the palace and just feel like royalty. It was really cool. Also, while we were over there, they have this whole island that is all museums, and they have an ABBA museum.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. So if you're obsessed with Mamma Mia like I am and the music from the movie,
yeah.
ABBA,
a lot of people
course,
might not know they're a Swedish
band.
I don't think they knew English when they recorded their songs.
I don't think they did. And I didn't even like really make the connection until we were over there and like learning more about it. And so they have the ABBA museum. It's really fun. Like
mm-hmm.
they are playing music throughout the whole thing. You get to kind of see their like on stage costumes. And I learned more about the band. I didn't really know that much about them before besides knowing the connection to Mamma Mia. So that was really fun. One of my favorite meals that I had while abroad was in Stockholm, the classic Swedish meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Best food I think I had my entire time abroad. You had the Swedish meatballs, like the gravy sauce. They give you like mashed potatoes, this like cranberry type sauce,
mm-hmm.
these like pickled cucumbers. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good.
It doesn't sound like all those
no.
foods would go together,
yeah.
but it's delicious.
It was so good. Like, I dream about that food, and I need to eat that again in my life sometime.
Yeah, I definitely recommend
yeah.
Stockholm, too.
Yeah, so that was
awesome.
A really good one. One of my other favorites, honestly, was London. Again, I think it's kind of a classic trip that everyone does, but it was just such a fun trip. And for us going from Ireland to London, it was so easy. I think our flight was 45 minutes an hour.
Wow.
It was
mm-hmm.
so quick. So that was like a super easy one. If you are in Ireland, London is right over the pond,
mm-hmm.
as they say. The city itself is just, it's huge. I wish I had more time there because I didn't even get to explore that much. But what I saw was just so much fun. I'm personally like obsessed with the royals.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's such a fascinating kind of thing. And so like going to Buckingham Palace was so cool. Seeing Kensington was awesome. We did tea while we were over there too, because tea is a big thing in
mm-hmm.
London. And so we went out to tea at a tea house, and that was super fun as well. So definitely would recommend doing that while you're in London. Take a picture in the phone booths, get
mm-hmm.
your classic photo. And just the city itself, it's bustling and just so much fun. Definitely on the more expensive side, kind of like...
Yeah. Probably one of the most expensive in Europe.
Because you're dealing with a pound, but again, like so worth it while you're over there. So that was definitely another one of my favorites.
That's awesome. Do you have any closing remarks, Emma, about just like advice for Galway or anything you wish you knew before studying abroad in Ireland in general? Like what to pack, like anything.
Okay. Definitely when you're packing, you want to make sure that you have a really good rain jacket.
And boots probably,
and
right?
boots. You want to have a really good pair of rain boots. I bought both of mine from L.L. Bean and they were great. A pair of just like little rubber Chelsea boots. You're going to need them. It rains there a lot. So you're going to probably be wearing that rain jacket every single day. So make sure you invest in a really good one. Also, like for packing clothes, with me starting off in January over there, it's still their winter. As we moved more into the spring, it started to move into their summer months. So make sure you're packing jeans and sweaters, and you're going to want kind of that warmer clothing type items. So that's definitely something to be aware of. Ireland is the place for you if you're kind of looking for that city vibe, but it's still small and quaint.
And they speak English.
And they speak English. That definitely helps. And again, like I said before, the Irish people are some of the friendliest and nicest people I have ever met in my life. I did not have one bad experience while I was in Ireland. Everything that I experienced was so wonderful, and everyone was so kind and so helpful, and I really felt welcomed in the city, which was great.
That's great.
So if that's kind of the vibe you're looking for, Ireland is definitely for you. And of course, I'm a little bit biased. I love Galway. It was just this incredible little city with just a rich culture and kind of rich downtown life, and you had the pubs, you had the arts, you had the culture, you had the beach, you had the water. So I'm definitely biased in saying that Galway is a great place to study abroad, but you really can't go wrong anywhere in Ireland. It's definitely just a great time no matter what.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Emma, for sharing. This was so much fun. I hope everyone listening learned a lot about Ireland and Galway, and if you want to go there, it sounds like Emma says do it.
Yes, definitely do it. Thank you so much for having me on here. It's been so great to talk about Galway and Ireland.
Thanks for coming. Bye.
Bye.
All right, and that brings us to the end of another episode of the Abroad Pod. I hope you guys are enjoying my abroad series. This one was all about Ireland. I also have Florence, Italy with my friend Marin, and Semester at Sea with my friend Emily, and many more places to come. So stay tuned, but in the meantime, I'll catch you guys next Wednesday with another solo episode. Bye!